It's just over 1 year since the new Electronic Communications Code came into force. But Emma Humphreys, partner at Charles Russell Speechleys LLP, believes it is going to be one of the biggest disruptors in 2019. She made her case last week at a joint Property Litigation Association, Property Bar Association panel event, named 2019 the Year of the Disruptor. Now she has joined me here in the EG studio to explain exactly what is so potentially disruptive about the code. Welcome, Emma.
Hi, Jess.
Now, you're here today because you don't think enough property owners have paid attention to the new code so far. Is that right?
Yeah, we were worried about this, you know, when the new code was mentioned in the first place, and a lot of work has gone on from various angles to try to inform landowners about the changes that were coming and are now in force. But yes, I remain concerned that landowners aren't really paying enough attention and just becoming educated enough, really, about the implications of the new code. And I think there's two issues that are really coming across increasingly since we've seen the new code introduced. And that's, first of all, the willingness of some operators to use their new rights much more proactively than they did under the old code. So even if landowners thought, well, I know about the old code and the new code's probably not that much different and I can live with it, perhaps they haven't fully appreciated, you know, that change of approach. And second of all, the impact that the new code is having on the market for sites where telecoms operators can be located and the knock-on effect that that's having for developers. They're certainly having even more issues in trying to remove masts and other communications apparatus. So they're my two main concerns, and I do think property owners haven't really taken on board what's happening out there.
Okay, so let's see what we can do about that now.
Can you
sum up for us what some of the major changes are in the now year-old code?
Yeah, so I think one of the messages I hope has got out there, but still, you know, it's interesting how many people still don't fully appreciate the changes. I think people are generally informed that the processes for termination have changed. And some people are aware that, you know, it's now a minimum 18-month notice period, but I still have lots of people coming to me, developers, who have no idea that it's an 18-month notice period. But also, I think the area where there's a lack of knowledge is the ideas behind now needing to prove redevelopment intentions, if that's the ground on which you're seeking to remove the apparatus, there are other grounds. And the fact that it's very ill-suited to development in many ways, the code, because you're going to have to prove that intention quite quickly after you serve the notice. You could be before the tribunal within sort of 5-6 months. So landowners who've got the 54 Act in their head thinking, oh, well, it's usually a year till trial, and that's what I'm going to prove my intention. They're in this really hard sort of position of, well, you've got to have 18 months notice, but actually you've got to prove your intention within 5 to 6 months. So I think that's the major, major change for landowners. The other big change, which of course is always going to attract concern, is the different valuation approach to the rents. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're waiting to see how those are going to be interpreted, those changes, but the rents being offered by operators on the whole are now significantly less than previously, and that's definitely attracting some attention. The other issues coming up, the lack of provision within the new code for lift and shift, that's very likely, I think, to cause some problems in the future. There were also concerns when it was introduced, one of the big changes was the fact that there's these automatic rights for operators to upgrade apparatus and share apparatus, and I don't think we've yet seen, you know, the impact of those changes. I should say, you know, I'm not here just to bang on about how bad the code is, much as I might be tempted, but it's not all bad. You know, there were some changes that were positive. You know, it was supposed to remove the overlap between the 1954 Act and the code, but that change wasn't retrospective, and we're now seeing some operators using that to delay the termination process. And the other positive change brought in by the code was the greater use of the tribunal to determine these disputes between operators and landlords. And I think that is, a positive change, and these things that are at least, you know, being bottomed out a lot more quickly than they would have been if we were in the court process.
So you've already identified some of the problems that have resulted as a result of the code, but could you sort of expand on why you believe this has the potential to be one of the big disruptors in 2019, and as we begin to look ahead to 5G, possibly beyond?
Yes, certainly. I mean, all of these issues, you know, they're all things that are going to cause practical problems. And they're all headaches. You know, let's face it, they're all headaches that landlords don't really need, especially with the changes to the rents. Mm. You know, the idea of trying to accommodate, you know, long longer termination processes, and you know, not having the ability to lift and shift automatically, you know, during the tenancy or during the agreement, those are headaches that landlords don't need if they're not going to get much rent for them. And so the result of that, of course, understandably, is that landowners are, in my experience now, much less likely to agree to the installation of communications apparatus. And the result of that is that it's led to the stagnation, and that is the wording I have heard used, you know, by operators themselves. It's led to the stagnation of the market for sites. So it's proving much harder for operators to relocate from development sites. And that is going to be a major disruptor in 2019, you know, unless this gets resolved. That has real potential to cause problems for development.
And particularly with that sort of advent of 5G in mind.
5G, exactly. I mean, 5G is going to, as I understand it, involve much more apparatus. I understand it, you know, may even, I mean, I'm not on the technical side in that sense, but I understand it's going to need quite a lot of structural support potentially. So, you know, these are all, again, you know, potential additional headaches that landlords, you know, when they look at the rents going to be offered, may well decide they just don't really want. But of course, the new code makes that harder for them.
And that's all at a time when we really don't want London falling behind other rival cities when it comes to state-of-the-art telecommunications.
No, but equally, you know, as I say, I'm not here entirely to bash the code, because we've also got to recognise that, you know, this is all part of the importance of communications to our economy. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a balance. And I don't think the current code achieves that balance properly. But it is absolutely vital, you know, for our economy and for our society. We've got all these projects that we need to put out there, you know, and facilitating better communications. And if we don't sort this out, you know, it's going to be a problem, not just for the property market, but for, you know, business as a whole.
Is the problem in effect really that all, does it all boil down to the matter of the rent that can be commanded, that not enough money is going to go into the pockets of the landlords, or are there other property issues that aren't directly related to the rent?
Rent is definitely a big issue. I think that's, you know, what's causing the immediate problem with the stagnation. Although, having said that, I think the position with the termination is a real problem now. You know, we're continuing to lack certainty, you know, as a developer. You continue to lack certainty as to when you're going to be able to get possession, if you're going to be able to get possession. You know, one of my clients is currently facing a 3-year delay since it served notice before it's going to be able to achieve vacant possession. You know, that just doesn't compute for developers. 3 years, you know. So, you know, it is, these sorts of issues, they're all problematic. And then there's the issues on the ground. You know, I think it perhaps hasn't always been fully recognised. You know, we saw a case last year about access. You know, access is also a common cause for complaint. You know, I hear tales that operators, or, you know, in particular their contractors, you know, ignore landlords' specific site access procedures, and they don't understand the issues affecting property, you know, safety, management, all these things. And landowners also feel occasionally that they bear an unacceptable portion of the costs of ensuring that the access and the works on site are conducted in a safe manner. You know, all of these costs for very little rent in return, that's just not attractive.
And you mentioned that we've already started to see cases coming through, and late last year we began to see the first decisions of the tribunal under its new jurisdiction under the code. How would you summarise the approach so far?
It's very clear from the tribunal's early decisions applying the code that it recognises the changes brought in by Parliament, you know, this real drive by Parliament to improve our communications. And the tribunal is very willing to blow that change forcefully through property interests. And I see no reason why that approach is going to change in 2019, and I'm sure we're going to see much more of it. There was a case, as you know, as you say, we had a couple of cases last year, the EE case against Islington Council. The tribunal accepted there, acknowledged that property owners were suffering prejudicial interference with their property rights, particularly because they're being deprived of the right to do as they want with their property and made to accept a price that's lower than they would like. So the tribunal accepted that, recognised that, but it was still prepared to impose the agreement. You know, that's what the legislation is doing. And the reason it's willing to do that, and the reason the legislation provides for that, is because of the public interest, of course, in having high quality communication services available. So EE was the, you know, that case was the perfect demonstration of that. You know, tribunal acknowledged the concerns of the landowner, but its concern to maintain the public's mobile coverage in that area allowed operators to secure interim rights to relocate their apparatus to a new site, despite pretty limited evidence in support of EE's application.
So, summing up part of the problem then, so this is something that the property industry really needs to start paying attention to. So why don't you think that enough people have woken up to it yet? And what, if anything, can be done to make it happen?
Yeah, I wish I had the answer to that question. I keep trying every medium possible, every form of communication to try to get the message out there. I mean, I think, you know, the reality is, you know, landowners are, you know, busy running buildings, busy getting on with the day-to-day job. Often there is just no need to pay attention to this, I suppose, until there's an imminent prospect of redevelopment. And the problem really for developers is those who are not, you know, paying attention early enough. You know, so those who come to me and you know, they want to start on site in 2 weeks' time, you know, they've got a problem. And it's, you know, I think it's also fair to say that it's very difficult for property owners to do much about their current position, because the rights which, you know, have been granted, you know, if they've already got telecommunications apparatus there, you know, removing it is very difficult. And similarly, fighting installation, you know, I think what we may well see in 2019, which is why I think, you know, the potential for disruption is there, you know, is that we're seeing property owners, by that, you know, I also include, you know, tenants in that, you know, receiving notices from operators to say, you know, we want to install our equipment on your land. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, operators really looking to use these rights. You know, that didn't happen under the old code. You know, you very rarely saw those sorts of notices. Whereas now, you know, this desperate search for sites, you know, is affecting a lot more property owners, I think, you know, are a wider remit, really. So, you know, it is something, you know, I do hope the property industry will start paying a bit more attention to, because I do think that we, as a property industry, need to really work together. We all have an interest in having good communications, you know, buildings, you know. Yeah. I'm sure you and I have got our mobile devices here and we're not happy when we don't get coverage in central London. So, you know, we all moan, don't we, when we don't get the coverage. So, you know.
And landlords are looking for tenants who demand high-end telecommunications, strong performance.
So, yes, that's right. And I think it will increasingly become a demand from tenants. You know, they've become much more alive to the importance of having good communications within a building. So, you know, I'm sure that's going to come. And landowners are not trying to block that. But it has to be recognised, I think, that you can't just treat this like a utility in that sense, because this equipment goes onto buildings. You know, it's not under the land. It's not getting in anyone's way. It's a different thing. So, you know, we have got to think about that. And, you know, I think the only answer to it is for the property industry and the telecoms industry to try to cooperate. You know, let's have a truce to this war, see whether we can come up with something that is that tries to accommodate both sides, because, you know, everybody's got an interest in trying to make this work and you know, not spending costs on all this fighting. Make love, not war, people.
as with other things on the agenda, that isn't always the way it works out.
No. Yeah. Best laid plans.
Well, thank you very much for coming here and attempting to spread the word further today.
Thanks for having me.